as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and we come down to verse 11, I think this is the need of the hour for all of our hearts. And I would entitle it the enlarging of our hearts. Enlarging our hearts. Let's look at these verses together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. He says in verse number 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. I know a lot of people's mouths that are open a lot more than they should need to be. And then he says, our heart is enlarged. You know, a lot of people, sometimes people's mouths are a lot larger than their hearts are. In other words, they talk a big talk, but there's no reality on the inside. In other words, there can be grand. And now what he's really saying is that his mouth is open to them to teach them and to say what they needed to hear. He was not going to keep anything back from them that they needed to hear. He was going to open his mouth and give them the truth. He's going to be totally honest with them. Totally honest. You know, the best friend you have is somebody that will tell you the truth. And so the Apostle Paul, he's been doing that with his church. He's been brutally honest, if you would say that, as you looked at the first and second epistles of Corinthians. The church at Corinth, he was brutally honest with them because he really loved them. And it wasn't just flowery language or even harsh language that was coming out of his mouth for any other reason than that his heart was enlarged for them. He really did love them. You know, sometimes our mouth can be open about things that our heart's really not engaged in. It's very easy to sing, and I believe we did even this morning, oh, how I love Jesus. It's easy to open our mouth with that. It's another thing for it to be a reality in our heart. Right. Just like the hymn, you know, My Jesus, I Love Thee. That I believe it's the last verse, maybe. I forget which one in there that's really convicting to me, where it says, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In other words, the writer was saying, if I could pick any time in my life that I could say right now, I love you more than any time in my life, he said, it'd be right now while I'm singing this song. But I wonder how many times that's true about us. He said, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. He's expressing their love for them. I wonder tonight, how big is your heart? Our heart is enlarged. Now I'm not going to do it, but we could talk about medical conditions where you do know that your physical heart can be enlarged. Physically. Now you wouldn't think that. I mean, your fingers don't grow. They don't get I mean, but your heart literally as a medical condition can get bigger. And when it does, there's reasons for that. I'm not preaching on that. I'm not trying to bring an allegory in that at all. But I'm just saying our physical heart can be enlarged. And certainly when he's talking about our heart, he's not talking about our physical heart. He's talking about the innermost part of us. When we talk about our hearts, what we really love, what is really important to us. And I just want to ask you tonight, how big is your heart for God? You said, preacher, why did you say today that we are in need of revival and we need to pray for revival and this wonderful meeting that we're going to have and the preachers are coming. We need to pray for personal revival in our own lives. We need to pray for revival in our land, in our country. What is it? I tell you what, because there's heart trouble. We need help for our hearts. Not help for someone else's heart, but help for our own heart. He says in verse 11, our heart is enlarged. That means that his heart is bigger than it used to be. It's bigger for God. It's bigger for them. He loves God. He loves God's people. And that love just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what I'm afraid of that many times, and then I really believe this, that one of the greatest casualties of this pandemic, so-called, one of the biggest casualties of it has been our love for God. I think what suffered in this time has not just been an economic suffering or a physical suffering, but I think there's been a great spiritual suffering. I think there's been a great spiritual falling away. And you can lay that at the feet of whatever you want to lay at. But the fact of the matter is, whatever the causality is, our hearts are in a place where we need God to work in them to get them bigger, because I don't love God as much as I need to love God. And I don't love God's people as much as I need to love God's people. And I don't love the souls of men for which He died like I really need to love them. And I don't love the service and the work of God like I really ought. I need God to enlarge my heart, because I find it shrinking sometimes. And I just ask you, what's the condition of your heart tonight? How big is your heart for God? Has there ever been a time in your life that's been bigger? How big is your heart for others that name the name of Christ, your brothers and sisters? Has it ever been bigger? Has there ever been a day, a time in your life that your heart it was bigger and enlarged over those all around the world that need the gospel? And I did not do my homework. I should have. I was going to do that and bring it in the pulpit tonight. Maybe it had been too much for us to digest all at one time. But I was going to try to show you the circumstances that we have in our world with all the missionaries that we have that have had to return from the field, and some that could not stay, and some now that cannot get in, and how the gospel is suffering, and not just around the world, but the work of God, the ministry of God, is suffering all over the country, all over the world. We're not in the nursing homes. We're not in the prisons. We're not in the schools. We're not every place where God wants His people to be. And I'm just saying, when we get away from the souls of men, that we can have a shrinking of our hearts where we don't care as much as we used to care. Because we've got different concerns and different worries and different things that our mind and hearts are on. He says, our heart is enlarged. But the problem was, it was not reciprocated. He says at the end of verse 13, be ye also enlarged. Do you see that? In other words, their heart wasn't as big as His. The Corinthians needed God to enlarge their heart, because it wasn't the same as His. They didn't love Him as much as He loved them. And as God had worked in Paul's heart, God was praying that He would work in the hearts of His people, that their heart would change. What was the problem? Would you look at verse 12? Let's look at these words that sometimes, in the spelling of them, look a little strange to our 21st century minds and eyes. He says in verse 12, ye are not straitened. Straitened, what does that mean? Now, that's not spelled with a G-H-T. That's spelled just S-T-R-A-I-T. You see how it's spelled in your Bible? He says, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's find some understanding from the Lord. What does it mean to be straitened? Look at Matthew. Hold your finger there. We'll be right back. Matthew chapter 7. Let's get some places in the Bible and find out what that word... You know, it's easy for people to just change the Bible. We don't change the Bible. We let the Bible change us. Amen. Amen. The work of Bible study is to look at something and find out where else it is, because the Bible is also its own commentary and dictionary. You don't need some smart guy to tell you what the Bible means. Just look at what it says. And if you look at what it says enough, you'll understand what it means. Amen. What does it mean, preacher? I don't understand that ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your... Well, what is that talking about? Talking about their hair or something like that? No, he's not talking about that. I mean, you think, what are all those ideas? How do we find out what he's talking about? You're straightened. And again, he's going to talk about their hearts. Matthew chapter 7, you'll recognize the words of Jesus in verse 14. Would you look at it? Because, what's the word? Now, how is it spelled? You see how it's spelled? S-T-A-S-T-R-A-I-T. No G-H in there. Well, so what does that mean? He says, because straight is the gate. And what's the next word? Narrow is the way. which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But he contrasts that straight gate in verse 14. Look at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. There it is again, S-T-R-A-I-T. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for what's the next word? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So the contrast is this. Even if you didn't have a dictionary, even if you didn't understand, you could read that verse and understand what straight means. S-T-R-A-I-T is the opposite of being wide. In other words, that wide gate, that big gate where a lot of people can go through, and the straight gate is a narrow place. It's a smaller place. Paul uses that same word, if you recall, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am in a straight betwixt two. He's in a tight place, a narrow place. And that tight, small place, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more need for you. He said, man, I'm in this tight place, and I want to be with Jesus, but I want to be with you. I need to be with you. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll show it to you again. And on your way there, grab Job, would you? Let God define his... What does he mean? You're not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. What's he talking about? In Job chapter 12, and then we'll read 2 Kings chapter 6. In Job chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 23, and no greater prophecies have ever been spoken about kings and nations and countries than this, and this is still true today. Job chapter 12 and verse 23, the Bible says that he, that's God, increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. Oh, America the beautiful. It is no big deal with God to destroy our nation. You say God would never destroy America. He destroyed his own people, the nation of Israel. I would never presume to think that we as Americans are the apple of God's eye, but he said that about his people Israel. And what did he do with them? Oh my, what he did with them. The Bible says he increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. Watch it now, verse 23, Job 12. He enlargeth the nations. You know, if somebody would just believe the Bible, they'd understand that all the success and all the prosperity and all the blessing of America can be laid at the feet of God Almighty that has enlarged us. Amen. It's been the hand and touch and the blessing of God that's enlarged the nation. Amen. But just as easy as he can enlarge the nation, look at it, he enlargeth the nations and, what does it say? Straighteneth them again. In other words, the same God that made the nation big can make the nation small again. Oh, we as a country came upon the scene as a small people, as a little people. Just an insignificant people, just, you know, about 13 colonies over here, halfway around the world. And what could we do? Well, God enlarged us. And it wasn't the mind of Thomas Jefferson or the Louisiana Purchase and all that business that enlarged our nation. It was God that enlarged our nation. And just as God made us big, he's made us the biggest thing in the world. He can bring us back and make us the smallest thing in the world. What does that straightening mean? Again, it's a small place. It's a narrow place. In 2 Kings chapter 6, would you look at that? One more verse about that. 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 1, 2 Kings 6 verse 1, I love this story. It's when God made an axe head to swim. I love it. Swim. Now, if you have a different Bible, amen, it'll say float. King James Bible said the axe did swim. I believe it was wiggling its tail and swimming, doing the doggy paddle, amen. I believe it swam. Yeah. Amen. If God can make something like an axe head swim, he can do anything that needs to be done with a bunch of people that are bankrupt and don't have anything, amen, at the bottom of the barrel. He can bring you up from the bottom of the barrel, amen. But the Bible says in this great chapter, I want to look at his word straight. He said in 2 Kings 6 verse 1, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." So what do they say? They say in verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." Look, this place is not big enough for us. Now, you know, you could make a play on words there and say, I tell you what's wrong with this generation here, in this young generation in chapter 6, verse 1. The old man was just too straight for them. You ever heard that? It's just too straight. You guys are just too straight-laced. You're just too straight. You know what that means? That means you're narrow about everything. You know, one of the great mockings of our type of Christianity, that Bible-believing Christianity, is that we're just narrow-minded. And I just have to say, I'm guilty as charged. I think you ought to be narrow-minded, because Jesus says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. If you're not narrow-minded, you're not getting into God's heaven. There's only one way to God, and that's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty narrow. There's only one Bible, and it's that Bible right there. That's pretty narrow. There's only one God in our Father. That's pretty narrow. And they said to that old man, "This is just too straight. Loosen this thing up." Isn't that amazing? Even in our perverted culture, they talk about people that are straight and people that are, I'm not going to use the word they use because I don't believe in that word. Straight. It's just too narrow. Now you take all of those references. Are you getting a picture of what it means to be straight? It's a place that's shrunk down into something that's small. It's a narrow place. It's tight. Now think about all that and go back to our text. He said in In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, "You're not straightened in us." In other words, your narrow place is not in us. My mouth is open to you. My heart is enlarged for you. You're not straightened in us. The narrow place isn't in me. But he says, "But ye are straightened in your own bowels." Now, when you think about bowels, I won't ask you what you think about, because that might degenerate the message into where we're going here. But one thing that you would know about your bowels is that they are on the inside of you. Now, when God talks about bowels, He uses different expressions. He tries to show us what is the innermost part of our feelings and the innermost part of our emotions. Let me give you some verses about that. He tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 3, he says, "If you shut up your bowels of compassion for your brother, how dwelleth the love of God in you?" In other words, you don't love somebody if you will not open up from the deepest intercesses of your heart and your life to help somebody. You really don't love them. He talks about bowels of compassion. That's that innermost desire that you have to love somebody and to help them. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 8, "How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Paul longed after the Philippians. He loved them in his innermost feelings and desires. Philippians 2:1, he says, "If there be comfort of love, if any bowels and mercies," he's talking about the great heart that he has for the Philippian church. When you study Psalm 22, and it's a prophecy, a reference to Jesus Christ on the cross. And this is what Psalm 22:14 says about even our Savior on the cross. He said, My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. That means that Jesus Christ, He died with a broken heart, you see. He died not just pouring out his blood, but pouring out his heart, pouring out the very innermost of his bowels, that which is innermost inside of him. He just poured out all of his love and his concern for us. He poured it out on the cross. His innermost feelings there. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah the prophet speaking for God says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. So every time he uses this word, he's talking about the innermost feelings of somebody. I'll give you two other illustrations about that. You remember when Joseph's brothers came back from Egypt, and of course Joseph is ruling Egypt at the time, and you know all the story, how he put, you know, one in ward and sent them away and said, you got to bring your youngest brother, which was Benjamin, which was his real brother in the flesh. And he so wanted to see his younger brother, and he'd been gone all that time and not seen him. And when Benjamin was brought to Egypt, and Joseph set the table, and it was all in order, and Benjamin sat down at the table. I'll show you something. And Benjamin sat down at the table. The Bible says this about Joseph, that his bowels yearned on his brother. And he had to leave the room. He had to go somewhere and cry like a baby because his heart was in the innermost heart. He was so wanting to just grab that younger brother and hug him and love on him in the innermost part of his soul. You remember the story when Solomon brought the two women were brought before him, and you remember the one baby had died and the other lived, and they were fighting over whose baby had died and whose baby had lived. And King Solomon said, bring a sword and divide the child. And as soon as King Solomon said that, the real mother of the child, the Bible says her bowels yearned, there's that word again, yearned on that child. And she called out and said, no, don't do that, just give it to her. Because she was so moved. Don't touch my child. She loved that child. Now listen, when the Apostle Paul and when God Almighty says you're not straightened in us, but you're straightened in your own bowels, he's saying on the inside of you, that part of you that ought to yearn for God and long after God is in a very tight place. It's in a narrow place. It has shrunk. It's small. Those deep feelings on the inside of you that ought to be big for God and wide for God and open for God, and that part of you that ought to yearn for the Lord and yearn for His truth and yearn for His church and yearn for His service, and just you're just filled with so much in your heart that you got to do more for Him and love Him more and be what He wants you to be. He says that part of you is not there anymore. It's straightened. It's thinned out. Small. And that's why I say I think these months that we've lived in, that our hearts have been a casualty and they have been straightened. And they've not been enlarged. What's the answer? Would you go back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? He's telling them, you know, I've got plenty of room for you in my heart, but you don't have room in my heart. You don't have room in your heart for me. We know God's got plenty of room in His heart for us. The question is, do I have room in my heart for Him? He said in verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. You know what a recompense is? It's paying somebody back. You know, he says, you know, you are my children. What did you mean by that? He was used by God to bring them into the family of God, to lead them to Christ. And they ought to have enough appreciation and love for Him because He introduced the gospel to them and He had begotten them again by the gospel. And there ought to be enough appreciation in their heart for Him leading them to Christ and preaching the truth that they would love Him back. You know, children aren't supposed to requite their parents. That means pay them back. Right? Now, follow that line. Paul says, I'm speaking to my children. I love you. I've opened my heart to you. There ought to be a recompense. You ought to enlarge your heart. You ought to pay that love back. You ought to reciprocate. And even so, children, today, children need to love their parents back. Children need to reciprocate. How many times? You know, that's one of the great tragedies of our land. Children grow up and there's no appreciation for their home life and for their parents and for their that have done things for them. And there's so many that have terrible parents and they have parents that don't care. And yet if you've got parents that love God and love you and love the Word of God, you ought to love them back, you see. But now let's pull it down to our real illustration. If you're saved, you're a child of God. If you're saved, you're a child of God. We ought to requite our Father. Our Father's great love for us. Our God's great love for us. Oh, He deserves to be loved back. He deserves my very best. He doesn't deserve a little tiny place in my heart. He deserves a big heart for Him and a reciprocation of it. Lord, I'm yearning for You just like You yearn for me. So enlarge my heart, God. How do you enlarge your heart? There are three different mediums, I think, that can enlarge your heart. The first is you. I think you can enlarge your own heart. I even looked at some of that in the medical world. When somebody's physical heart is enlarged, a lot of times there are certain things in that person's life that's caused that to take place. It wasn't many times some outside influence. It was an inside influence. Look at Jude, the little book of Jude. You can enlarge your own heart. You can always tell people are in great need of revival if they don't see the need of their heart to love the Lord more. If they don't think their heart needs to be any bigger for God, then oh, the great, great need. Because if they think they have need of nothing, then that's the greatest time of all that you do need God to enlarge your heart. Be ye also enlarged. How do I enlarge my heart? How do I get a bigger heart for God? I tell you what, if I want a bigger heart for God. I want people to have a bigger heart for God. I want my children to have a bigger heart for God. I want the people that I preach to have a bigger heart for God. I'll go preach in that missions conference. I want those people to get a bigger heart for God and get a bigger heart for souls around the world. Well, how does all that happen? Instead of being straightened on the inside, he said in the book of Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, this is true also about marriage. You know, you have to keep yourself in love with your spouse. Because there's a lot of things about your spouse that won't be lovable in life. Now, come on, you can admit that. You can quit lying to your wife or your husband. There's a lot of things about them that you don't love. It's very quiet right there. Love is a commitment that you make. I choose to love you. I want to love you. And I'm going to... You know, these people that... It happens all the time and they just get tired of living with each other and so they divorce and they go away and they're sick of that and they say, well, I just don't love him anymore. You know, that's not the issue. There are some things the Bible says about divorce and remarriage in the book. But you know what one of them is? Is not that I just don't love him anymore. That's not it. You know why? Because you can keep yourself in love with anybody you want to keep yourself in love with. Amen and amen. Now let me ask you a question. If you don't love the Lord, you know why? It's because you didn't keep yourself in love with Him. It's because you didn't work hard at loving Jesus. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God. And hearts are small when they don't want to recompense that true love. And enlarged hearts want to pay God back and to show God back love that He showed to them. Back in our text, you know what's right after our text? And I could have just skipped right over it and gone right into it. It had been a great sermon, and we'll get to it when we need to get there. But we preached on it, and it's been preached in independent Baptist churches from time immemorial, starting in verse 14 to the end of the chapter. You know what it's about? It's about separation, right? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He's talking about their associations. He's talking about the people they fellowship with. He's talking about people they join themselves together. He said, man, what are you doing? A righteousness with unrighteousness and light with darkness. And what are you doing, you believers, with infidels? And why are you just putting things together that don't go together? You know what I think keeping yourself in the love of God has to do with? It also has to do with the fact that you're enlarged heart for God cuts off everything else that's against God. And the problem was these Corinthians, listen. The problem was these Corinthians, listen to me, they were opening their hearts up to unbelievers, to unrighteousness, to uncleanness. And the more we open our hearts to other things besides God, our hearts get smaller and smaller for God as they get bigger and bigger for things. I tell you what, I love America. But I don't love America like I love my God. I love my family. I believe if God been my helper, I'd lay down my life for them. But I don't love my family like I love my God. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be here. But I love my God most of all. And this is what I'm saying. Sometimes in our lives, there's an event, there's a job, there's people. There's something in our lives that our hearts get enlarged for. And the more our hearts go after that, the smaller our hearts get for God. You can keep yourself in the love of God, but you have got to stop all other things that would become His rival in your heart. And maybe the fact that God's allowed many of the churches to be closed is because many of them weren't serious in the first place. And the depth of commitment and love to God was not real anyway. It was a very surface thing. You know, God can see if our hearts yearn for Him. Remember the illustration that we gave? That Joseph is yearning for his brother in the depth of his soul. The mother's yearning for the child, doesn't want the child hurt in the depth of her soul. Do we yearn for God that way? Or is our yearning heart for something else in our lives? You can keep yourself in the love of God. You can enlarge your own hearts. Jesus even said in John chapter 14, verse 23, He said, you know, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. You know what part of loving God is? Just doing what He says in this book. He said that in John 14, 23. He said that in John 15, verse 10. He said that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. He tells us over and over again, if we love the Lord, we're going to do what He says. We're going to keep His commandments. I show God I love Him because I do what He says. And I don't do what He says when it's convenient. And I don't do what He says when the government tells me to do it. And I don't do what He says because I feel like doing it. I do what He says because I love Him. I love Him. We always know our lives and our hearts are shrinking. When the priority of doing what God's told us to do takes a back seat to something else. In 2 Corinthians, look at it. The second thing here, and I'm about through because I've already read verse 13, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Not only can you enlarge your own heart, other people can enlarge you. I just told you about Brother Coffey. He helped my heart. He really helped my heart. He helped my heart want to be strong. He helped my heart as a young man to want to be a real man for God. He helped my heart. He helped my heart as I saw tears stream down his face about all the people he talked about that died in battle that were next to him. He helped my heart in seeing the compassion that he had for other people, the hard exterior of that soldier, and yet the inside of that man that would cry and weep over those that were his friends. He helped my heart. Other people can affect your heart. And here's my question to you. Whose heart are you helping to enlarge? He says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just a couple chapters over, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. But having hope when your faith is increased," look at it, "that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." Now we understand he's saying that their giving and their help for him is enlarging his ministry. But the word, it nevertheless is used there, that the Corinthians can be used of God to enlarge him and to enlarge his heart and his reach farther for others. The great message, I believe it was William Carey, if I'm not mistaken, in Isaiah 54, the great sermon that he preached. And that talks about enlarging our tent. And that enlarging of the tent, he preached that great missionary message about enlarging the tent and reaching out farther places around the world that need the gospel. You know, all of our hearts, I tell you what, it is a casual. Missions giving and missions going and gospel spreading has taken a back seat in the last 5 or 6 months, and our hearts have gotten to not know some of it is out of our control. But if we're not careful, our hearts are going to shrink. Because an enlarged heart wants to reach out to more people. An enlarged heart wants to go farther. And others can affect your heart, and you can affect others' hearts to want to get the gospel farther. When people look at your heart, does it touch them? When they see your burden for people, do they have the same burden for those people? Hearts are small. Listen. Hearts are straightened. Hearts are narrowed when they aren't interested in the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm sad to say, as a preacher, I got to tell the truth. I'm sad to say that in the last 6 months, I think most people have been more concerned about their health than spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just think I have to be honest with you. That what's taken the precedence is not my heart being bigger for others, but my concern for myself. Do you see something twisted in that mentality? That we would be so concerned over ourselves that we would forget about a world that's lost without God. I say we need revival. We need an enlarged heart. And a burden for the souls that are all around. Every time I got another letter 2 days ago from another missionary saying, "I'm coming home." One of our long-term missionaries. Long-term. And their health reasons. But how many years have they been there in Indonesia? Indonesia, yeah. Coming back and taking the church up in Sierra Leone. 40 years. 40 years. You think there's not a void left there? My heart began to break. That dear brother I talked about, Taiwan, they're not going to let him go. And all the people there that now he's not going to be able to be there with. I know we've got another. My mind was on Indonesia. We've got Indonesian missionaries that are back. It's every single day, and my heart breaks because the problem is, who's there preaching? Who's there giving the truth? Who is there? We're going to lose a whole generation because are we more concerned about, you know, our founding fathers, when they started this nation, they were not worried about how it would affect them. They pledged their very lives and their very fortunes to give somebody else hope. Is that not the calling of a Christian? The bigger our concern for ourselves, the smaller many times it gets for others. The last thing, and I've got to hurry. Genesis chapter 9, we'll start there. We'll read about 4 or 5 verses and we'll be finished. Preacher, okay, we need our hearts enlarged. How are we going to do it? Well, you can enlarge your own heart. You can get a burden, let other people affect your heart, and it can be enlarged by others, and you can have effect on other people as well. And then lastly, the great source of enlargement is always God Himself. Now, if it wasn't in the Bible, it would be a very racist statement, but it's in the Bible, so it's okay. In Genesis chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 27. God shall enlarge Japheth. Do you see that? Now wait just a moment. There are 3 boys that come off of that ark with Noah. He's got 3 sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? God looks at those 3 boys and he says, I tell you what I do. I'm going to take Japheth and I'm going to enlarge Japheth. Well, that seems a little partiality, doesn't it? It's okay to say that. I mean, it is. Well, preacher, that's not fair. I mean, he's going to enlarge Japheth. Look at verse 27 again. God shall enlarge Japheth and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Matter of fact, he's going to enlarge Japheth so much that he's going to go and take Shem's tent. Well, that's not fair. Well, keep reading. And he's going to make Canaan a servant. Well, why does God do that? Because God can do anything He wants to. He didn't have to ask you or me or anybody else. He made the world and all of our lives are at His discretion. And if God wanted to choose Israel to make them a special nation, He can choose Israel. If God wanted to raise America up to spread the gospel, that's not unfair. That's just God. And God looked at those 3 boys of Noah and He says, that one I'm going to make bigger. And you know what? He did. We won't get into all that. It might upset somebody. But go to Exodus 34. The principle is what I'm trying to show you here lastly before we conclude is that God Almighty can enlarge anything. Exodus chapter 34, the Bible says this in verse 24. He's talking about the children of Israel. He's making them a nation, going to bring them into the land. Exodus 34, verse 24, watch it. For I will cast out the nations before thee. What a terrible thing to do. Well, it's God's land, you see. You're poachers. By the way, the Palestinians, they are still poaching on God's land. And if you don't have that view, you don't have a Bible-believing view. Look at it. He says, for I will cast out the nations before thee, look at it, and enlarge thy borders. God can make the borders of Israel bigger. That's what He did. That's what He ever shall do in the future. Look at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Heading somewhere. This is, you know, if you're ever bored reading your Bible, I guarantee you for sure you've got bored in 1 Chronicles 4. But in 1 Chronicles 4, there's one of the greatest encouraging passages in the Bible. You know how many diamonds in the rough you'll miss if you just read when it's not boring? I mean, really, guys, the Bible's not a children's book. It's a laboring book that we look in to search for the hid treasures of our God. And He says in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in the midst of all these names, in verse 9, we read of Jabez. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, look at it, church, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Look at it. You see the exclamation point. He said that with a bunch of passion on the inside of his bowels. Amen. And the Word of God says, and God granted him that which he requested. Why? Why could we not cry to God from the recesses of our hearts, from our homes and from our altars and from our places, wherever we go, we find ourselves alone or our prayer closet. Why can't we call out to God and say, oh God, that you had blessed me indeed. And Lord, I need you to enlarge not my coast, but I need you to enlarge my heart. Make my heart bigger for you, God. Make my heart bigger for your word and make it bigger for people. Psalm chapter 4. God is the great enlarger. Have you ever prayed for him to make your heart bigger? He said in Psalm chapter 4 and verse 1, David says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Psalm 18, two more verses, we're finished. Psalm 18, verse 36. Psalm 18, 36, David writes, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Lastly, Psalm 119. What's wrong with our hearts? The bottom line is, we may not want God to fix them. We may not want them to change. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Corinthians, my heart is enlarged for you, but yours isn't for me. Oh, fleshly, carnal, baby Corinthian church, my heart is open to you, and my heart is enlarged for you, but your heart is so narrow and so tight and so little. There's no room. There's no room in your heart for a preacher. There's no room in your heart for God, just like there was no room in the inn for our Savior. And there's no room in some people's lives for a big God. And there's no room for a commitment to God and a faithfulness to God in some people's lives. And I think our prayer needs to be, God, at the end of the day, you can change my heart. And you can fix my heart and you can make important to my heart what ought to be important. And Lord, that part of me that just doesn't care, that part of me that doesn't care if I go to church or not, or if I read my Bible or not, or if I pray or not, or if I reach out to souls or not, that part of me that doesn't yearn for you, God, would you fix that part of my heart and would you enlarge it and make my heart bigger for you, because I sure do need that to be done. How big is your heart tonight?